In this week's parsha, we have some serious combat going on over here. Now, I'm going to start with a later story where there's two Jews that seem to be in a heated discussion. One of the Jews hits his friend, and Moshe says, Roshe! Loma sakereyecha, why are you hitting your friend? And Moshe calls him a Rasha. Why is Moshe calling him a Rasha? Chazal say from over here, any person that raises his hand on his friend is Nikro Rasha. You're not allowed to hit your friend. You're not allowed to hit somebody. However, the Gemara says that that's only when it comes to hitting your friends. But what about someone's not really your friend? What about, is a Rebbe allowed to hit a Talmid? That's a different story. That is a different story, says the Gemara. Rebbe's allowed to hit a Talmid. Not only that, a Rebbe's mitzvah to hit a Talmid. Now, you might think, says the Gemara, that's only a Talmud who's doing the wrong thing. But a regular person is just walking and all of a sudden he gets hit by his Rebbe. What are you doing? Says the Gemara, even a Talmud that's learning well, you also allowed to hit him. Afal gav de gomer, mitzvah for the Rebbe to hit him. Rebbeim are supposed to hit their Talmidim. That's what the Gemara says. Applause for masochists. Anyway, like this, Rabbi said, I got to remember, I haven't found this, I said this last year, I think someone could be machzer in Aveda, I lost this, I think it's Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, I think it's in Drash Moshe, I can't find it. He says, what's the pshat? Why are Rebbe Amos just hit the Talmidim? The guy's learning. He said, what do you want for my life? Rabbi Moshe says, he said, a Rebbe's job is to get his Talmud out of his comfort zone. You're learning well? Great. It's comfortable. It's good. Okay, no. I'm going to get you out of that comfort zone. I'm going to rough you up. That's a Rebbe's job. The truth is, it's the Medrash. The Medrash says that there's no malach. There's no blade of grad. It doesn't have a malach that hits it and says, grow. What do you have to hit me for? Just tell me to grow. It's like, no. Hit you, grow. What are you hitting me for? Because you got to get out of your comfort zone. That's a Rebbe's job. Get you out of your comfort zone. So if a Rebbe sees the Talmud's learning well, great, you're learning well, okay. I'm going to rough you up because you got to learn better. I'm going to push you even harder. That's a Rebbe's job. What can I do? Anyway, that's what it says. Now, Lamaisa, this is Moir Dika Medrash, which I would never have the audacity to say if not for the Medrash. The Medrash says, do you know why Yishmael turned out like Yishmael? Because Avram waited so long for such a child, he went a little soft on Yishmael. He's a little too gentle with Yishmael. It's like really like, you know, it's like he spoiled him a little bit. Didn't hit him. Yishmael ended up Esav, the Medrash. Because Yitzchak waited for so long, he was like soft on Esav. Soft on him. You go too soft on your kids, that's what happens. The person has to, of course, with love, for sure, with love. But at the same time, a person has to make boundaries. Children have to know there's boundaries. However, on the other hand, there's a story about the Chassam Sofer. This is a famous story. There's different neschois how to say this story, but it's a very famous story. The Chassam Sofer, as a kid, was a wonder child. And as a young boy, he said this massive chabura in the Beis Medrash. And he answered a kasha of his grandfather, who was the Gadol Ador. And his father thought that it was audacious. Answer the father, the kasha of your grandfather, at like, he was a young boy, he wasn't even bar mitzvah, I think. His father got up, smacked him across the face, in front of everybody. So it's a little tricky. When we get to Chassam Sofer, we'll talk about it a little bit. Rav Nosson Adler either heard about it or was there. I heard different neschois. And he said, no more. He said, no, this is not, this boy, this is not the way that that we have to treat this boy. And basically, Rav Nosson Adler took over the Chafetz Chaim's chinuch, and his parents did not speak to him anymore. His mother did not speak to him. She was allowed to look in the window to see her son, but that was it. Rav Nosson Adler basically said, this boy I have to take care of, you can't do this. So, okay, there's different neschais of exactly how to say it, of exactly what happened, but something happened. You see that the Chassam Sofer's father felt like he needed to be hit. Some people said he wanted to avoid Ayin Hara. Here he was in front of all these people, this kid, wonder child, or whatever, something like that. But you see, on the other hand, the Rasan Adler was not comfortable with that being the behavior. So you have to know each kid, each situation. It's not so simple. Some of you get hit, some of you don't get hit. And there's reasons for that. Understand? Akopanim, this is about a Jew hitting another Jew. What about a goy hitting a Jew? We have that in this week's parasha also. Because right before that, a goy, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out of the palace, and the first thing he sees is that there's a goy who's hitting a yid, and what does he do? Moshe Rabbeinu kills him. So, Chazal learned from over here, halacha l'daris, that if a goy hits a yid, chayiv misa. If a goy hits a yid, it's chayiv misa. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, saw a guy hitting a yid. What did he do? He killed him. Why did Moshe kill him? Because he's chayiv misa. That's what it seems like. So the shaila is, Frechter Basher Vais from Minchas Osher, if in fact he was chayiv misa. So it's open and shut. Is Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to kill him? The answer is, what?
Yes.
Why? It's chayiv misa. So why does it say Moshe Rabbeinu look to see if he's going to have any children in the future, which didn't exist? How did he see that? I don't know. But how did Moshe Rabbeinu look into the future? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to look into the future to see if he's going to have any kids? I don't care if he is or if he isn't. Open, shut, hit a yid, chayiv misa. Bezdin does that? Well, let's see. Let me see if you're going to have any Jewish children. What, like, every Jew is going to have Jewish children, and still we kill them. Because if you're chayiv misa, you're chayiv misa. So why, if we're telling me the impetus for Moshe Rabbeinu killing him was because this guy was Chayiv Misa, so Moshe Rabbeinu should just killed him. Open shut, he doesn't have to look. Vayar ki einish. He saw in the future, no one's coming out of him, and that's why I killed him. He killed him because he's Chayiv Misa. As I effect of Bashevice. Take a step back. Let's try to understand why is it that a guy who hits a yid is Chayiv Misa. Why is that the case? We're familiar with Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. We know that the Goyim do have certain mitzvahs, things, laws they have to abide by. Where did this one come in? A Goy is not allowed to hit a yid. He's Chayiv Misa? What's the makor for this Chayiv Misa? I don't know. Says the Chedush Yaran, maybe this is included in the Isser of Loi Sigzo. We know one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach is a Goy is not allowed to steal. If a Goy steals, it's Chayiv Misa. So, says the Ran, let me ask you a question. Is there a difference between stealing from someone, which is depriving him of something that's one of his possessions, and hurting someone, which is depriving him of his health? It's the same thing. I'm injuring his possessions. I'm injuring his body. It's the same type of stealing. It's the same concept. So, says the Ran, this is included in Gezel. A goy is not allowed to steal, therefore it's Chayiv Misa. If that would be the case, is a goy allowed to steal from another goy? No. Would a guy be allowed to hit another guy? Yep. If that's the case, no. And yet, what Chazal say is, Akum Shehika es Yisrael Chayiv Misa. Sounds like it's something unique about Yisrael is Chayiv Misa, not because of the Gezel Sheboy. Because if it was the Gezel, it wouldn't make a difference if it's Yisrael or not Yisrael. Says the Ran, I got another Mahalach. And I don't understand it clearly, and I didn't have a chance to look it up now. But he says the following thing. The Rambam says something very interesting, and the Ran just gives us a little bit of information. The Rambam says, a goy that hits a Yisrael, afal pi shechayiv misa einoy nerag befoyel. Very interesting. Even though he's chayiv misa, will Bezdin execute that misa? No. Is this like Bezdin's job to do to kill him? No. What does that mean? It means that it's no longer Bezdin's job to do. Maybe this is some sort of Misa Bidei Shomayim or something like that. So it's not necessarily included in the regular Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach over here. So even if you want to say that the Rambam has that Moshe Rabbeinu has a din of Bezdin, Moshe Rabbeinu has a din of Ayin Aleph, he's like he's a Bezdin, but is Bezdin obligated to kill this person? No. So is this an open shut case? Look, I mean, he's Chayiv Misa, I gotta kill him. Does Moshe have to kill this guy? What's the answer? No, why not? Bezdin doesn't kill him. And an Eric. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, he has the liberty of looking into the future and saying, do I want to kill him? Do I not want to kill him? Well, let's see. see what he's worth. Let's see what's going to come out of it. I don't have to kill him. Bezdin doesn't have to kill him.
Otherwise, he would have just died. I'm saying, like, what would have happened?
Huh? That's up to Hashem. It's not my job.
Wasn't he hitting another Jew? Isn't that the reason why he didn't have to wait for Mishraim to do it? Does that make sense that he wouldn't have to wait for Mishraim? Because Mitzri was hitting another Jew.
That's true. Mitzri was hitting another Jew. But the point is like
this. Bezdin doesn't kill Ben Hashemayim. Bezdin doesn't kill him. He leaves Ben Hashemayim.
Right.
So Moshe wasn't in that scenario where he could just leave Ben Hashemayim.
So we're gonna, hold on a second. What we're trying to say right now is the following thing. Moshe is not obligated to kill him. Because even if he's chayv misa, it's not my job. And therefore Moshe has the liberty to decide if he wants or he doesn't want. What would it depend on if Moshe would want or if he didn't want? He'll look into the future and see, is this person going to have any children that are going to become gerim or not? If he is, then maybe I won't do it. It's not my job. I'll let Hashem do it. Or maybe if he's not going to have any children, then I can decide I want to kill him. That's where we're at the moment. So therefore, because whatever this chayv misa is not a bezdin chayv misa, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu can take a step back and he can start looking and thinking and deciding if he wants to kill him or not.
Wasn't it kind of up to Hashem anyways? He used Hashem's name.
We'll see that. We'll get there. But asks the Minchas Asher a question. If you're telling me that this is not Bezdin's job to kill him, and really, now this is really up to Hashem, so that I understand why Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to kill him, but now I'm going to ask you, is Moshe Rabbeinu allowed to kill him? It's not your job. What are you doing? This is not Bezdin's job. Even if you want to say, well, I'm going to be Bezdin. Moshe Rabbeinu, I know. I'm like Bezdin. I'm like Sanhedrin. Because I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not your job. Even as Bezdin, it's not your job. I don't get it. Let's say there's someone who's Chai Misvedei Shemayim. Is any of us allowed to walk over to him and say, oh, you just did some Chai Misvedei Shemayim and kill him? Are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to take that into our own hands? No. No one's allowed to do that. If a person would see a Yid Chai Misvedei Shemayim and kill him, you know what he would be? He would be a Rotzeach. A Rotzeach. Yeah. Roidev, Rotzeach, Chayv Misa, all that stuff. You can't do that. It's not in your jurisdiction. So what's going on over here? Again, we started off asking, if this guy is really Chayv Misa, Moshe Rabbeinu, open shut, kill him. What are you waiting for? Looking to see if he's going to have children. Just kill him. No, it's not my job. It's not your job. So then how are you killing him? It's not your job. You can't take someone else's job. It's Hashem's job. So what is this? That's the question. So I'd like to say three terutzim into this kasha. Terutz number one. Terutz number one is as follows. And this is really close to what Reb Shalom Green was suggesting. It's like this. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu was killing him as a hirasha. You're right. It's not my job. We do find certain times extreme measures for extreme situations. I'll give you an example. Do you remember the story of Yehuda and Tamar? You know that story? Tamar became pregnant. Now, and Yehuda said, kill her. Now, was Tamar actually married when she became, quote unquote, pregnant? What happened to her husbands? They died.
She was a cougar.
Okay, is she chayev misa? Is a woman that's not married, that's mezana chayev misa? No. What? Even Yevam is not chayev misa. It's a lav. Yevam Lashuk is a lav. She chayev misa? She's not chayev misa. What in the world is Yehuda killing her for? Sreika? Why? You see from over here, Yehuda said, listen, this act is considered to be a brazen, like, pritzas, a pirza. This is a situation I have to, I'm going to go extreme. It's extreme right now. In a chanami, she's not chayev misa, but when Bezdin decides to that they have to react in a very severe way, they can. There's such a concept. This idea, he brings in a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Bezdin makin v'oinchin shaloi min hadin. As follows. Someone does something wrong. And Bezdin sees the ripple effects of what he's doing. And Bezdin says, this is not good. I can't allow this to go unpunished. And even the punishment that he's supposed to deserve is not enough. I'm going to give him a severe punishment and make a point. Is Bezdin allowed to do that, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes. Where do we see that from? I just said to you. Where do we see it from? Yehuda and Tamar. The one in Sanhedrin. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is in a situation. There's a guy here. Is he doing something wrong? Yes. What's he doing wrong? He's hitting a Jew. Is he chayev miso kol pidei shamayim?
Yes.
So is he punishable? Yes. It's punishable. Now, can Moshe Rabbeinu have an extreme reaction to that chet? Would that be acceptable for Moshe Rabbeinu? If he decides under the circumstances that's necessary.
Why, though?
What?
Why? What was his reason?
Well, maybe his reason is because right now there's a Jew who's being hit and he has to stop that. And the only way to stop that is for him to have that response. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu's reason is, that doesn't bother us anymore. Because as long as Moshe Rabbeinu is reacting to something that is a clear Avera and deserves a punishment, Moshe Rabbeinu has the right to exaggerate the punishment or to blow up the punishment. There's a chiddush here because most of the cases is that Beis Din's supposed to punish you small punishment. Beis Din punishes you a big punishment. Over here, this is not Beis Din's at all. This is Misa Dei Shamayim. So, but it's still, it seems to me that's the same thing. And it can't be stamas. It has to be that Beis Din sees that there is a specific reason why they have to do it here. It could be the reason. There's other reasons. It's because there's a yid he's being hit, and he felt that under the circumstances. Moshe Rabbeinu felt that that has to be an extreme response to the situation. Because I hear
Yidden were being hit.
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see that. This is his first time seeing it. He probably would have killed the next one also, and the next one too, and the next one too. I don't know. He wasn't. He was in the palace. This is his first time going out. Akoponim, Rabbi Isai. We're going to try another teretz. I understand the doichik in this teretz. Try another teretz. Next teretz is as follows. Maybe Enochanami, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to kill the Mitzri. He wasn't able to kill the Mitzri, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't kill him physically. How did Moshe Rabbeinu have this Mitzri killed? The Shema Mefoirish. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is not chayiv for killing him. Because he didn't kill him. Hashem killed him. It was really Hashem. All I did was I brought down Hashem's name. And I just put it over onto this Mitzri. And boom! He's gone! It wasn't me.
Yeah, I pulled the trigger. Hashem made the bullet hit you.
No. Where you kill someone with a physical, with a weapon, something physical in this world, then you did it, because you live in the other Mamaisa. Over here, I'm not doing it. Hashem's doing it. So if Hashem doesn't want him to die, is he going to die?
No. If it wouldn't have happened without you saying the words, then you did it.
No, but this is not like something physical. This is Hashem. So therefore, if he does not deserve to die, Hashem's not going to kill him. It's a shame Hashem killing him. It's not me. It's a shame Hashem. So therefore, if it's a shame Hashem, it's not me doing it. That's a very good question. It could be. Thank you very much. It could be he didn't want to say the Shem Hashem and not have it be used appropriately. Shem Hashem isn't just going to kill people randomly. If I say the Shem Hashem on a regular person, he's not going to die. He's only going to die if he deserves to die. So anyway, it's not really me. It's really Hashem's killing him. It's because he deserves to die, and it's just using the Shem Hashem. And that's when I kill someone with an axe or with a knife or with a gun or with something, then I'm killing him physically over here. I'm just allowing, I'm bringing Beis Din here into this world. Shamayim, Shamayim. Boom, Shamayim. Shamayim, the Adama.
Not everyone could have killed someone with the name of Hashem, right? You have to be a special person.
That's correct.
So Hashem gave him that power, and maybe he misused it. Or did use it, but not.
Is there such a thing as misusing it? Is there such a thing?
I don't know.
So the Rabbi Shlomo Weiss is suggesting no. We're going to see soon. Okay, everybody say, hold off for a second. Okay. I want to tell you an amazing thing. It says over here, the Chidah brings from the Arizal. Third answer. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu built Ir HaNidachas. Ir HaNidachas is a place where you run when you kill someone. The Pasuk says, V'samti l'cho makum, I will make for you a place where you can run. For you a place? For what does samti l'cho makum mean? It's for you. Who's Hashem talking to? To Moshe. Samti l'cho makum asher yonus shama. Ir miklat, I said Ir HaNidachas, sorry, Ir miklat. Samti l'cho makum, I'll make for you a place where you can run to. Who's you? Moshe. Moshe what? Says the Arizal, Moshe needs an ear miklat. Why? Who did Moshe kill? Who did Moshe kill? The Mitzri! Moshe killed the Mitzri and needs an ear nachas. If that's the case, so what does that mean? How could Moshe kill the Mitzri? The answer is, he wasn't supposed to. That's why he ended up in an ear miklat. Shama, change the order of the letters. Shama, what name do you get? Moshe. Asher Yonos, Moshe. Moshe should run to the Ir Miklat. Why? Because he killed somebody. Who's the Nachri? Oh, good question. We'll see. Hold on. The Chidah, however, says it's schwer because the Ir Miklat. When does the Ir Miklat in Avraham Yaradin actually get activated? Does anyone know?
When
Christ went into Eretz Yisrael. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu when Christ went into Eretz Yisrael? No, he wasn't. Where was Moshe when Christ went into Eretz Yisrael? He was Baruch Dayanemis. He was Olav HaShalom, whatever that means. He wasn't around anymore. So what does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ir Miklat for Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't go to the Ir Miklat. He died first. Says the Chidah, no. It says, V'samti l'chom mokoim. For you, Moshe Rabbeinu, the only one who could go to this Ir Miklat, now at this moment is who? Moshe. In Harami. For everyone else, they have to wait until what? Until everyone goes to Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu can't wait until Klal Yisrael gets into Eretz Yisrael. Why not? Because he's not going to be around. So therefore, this Ir Miklat worked for Moshe Rabbeinu. However, the MS, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't over on the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't over there. First of all, it says Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Malachim if he should kill the Mitzri. So this wasn't like, you know, he made a bad decision. He asked the Malachim, and the Malachim told him he should kill him. And also, he killed him with the Shem HaMefayrish. And if he killed him with the Shem HaMefayrish, says the Chidah, what must it be? Was it the wrong thing to do? Why not? Because what?
Use the name when the person died.
Because what?
Use the name so the person died.
He used the Shema Mefirish. If it worked, obviously the person was supposed to die, says the Chidah. How else did he kill with the Shema Mefirish? So what do you see from the Chidah? You cannot kill with the Shema Mefirish someone who doesn't deserve to die. So he deserved to die. So Moshe Rabbeinu obviously didn't do anything wrong. So why is Moshe going to Ir Miklat? He says, look, for Moshe Rabbeinu on his darga of his neshama, even though what he did was not wrong, but still, Lamaisa, he has blood on his hands, so therefore we put him in an Ir Miklat. Hashem said, you can have him Ir Miklat because it'll be some sort of cleansing. It doesn't mean he really killed, he didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, it'll answer also David's question, whoever else asked that, it wasn't a shaygeg, it doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu is really chayiv to go to Ir Miklat. This doesn't fit into the regular klalam of Ir Miklat. But Moshe Rabbeinu, on his darg of his neshama, lemaisa, killed somebody, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to give you an Ir Miklat to cleanse whatever, even little bit, but it doesn't mean he's really chayiv.
He went there after he died.
What'd you say?
He went to Ir Miklat after he died.
Mm-mm. Before he died. Even though it didn't work for anyone else, it worked for him. My father likes to tell over a story. My father is Olzayin Gizun. About the Vilna Goyin. Hear this story from Rabbi Yosha Ber Salavechik. I don't know if you ever heard this story. The background of the story was Rabbi Yosha Ber Salavechik had a very bad back. And he couldn't climb the stairs to go to where he gave his shiur in the regular shul. It's called Maria Shul. He had a lot of stairs to go up, and he couldn't climb up because of his back. So he went to say shiur on a different shul. Before he started shiur, he said the following story. The Vilna Goyin, and later on in his life, his health was failing. And the doctor said that it would be good for him if he would go to the mountains to be able to breathe the air. The air, the mountains is fresher, and especially in those days, it was very important that to have healthy, good air. The Goyin was not interested. He's in Vilna. He's staying in Vilna. That's it. He's here in Vilna. And nothing anyone would say is going to move the Vilna Goyin. He's not budging. He's here. Finished. The family was worried. Anyway, the Vilna Goyin's prime disciple, Reb Chaim Volozhin, came to visit. He used to come once a year and ask his Rebbe all of his kashas, stay there for a while, ask him all his questions, and go home. The family pleaded with him, maybe you could get the Goyin to go to the mountains. The doctors say it's only not good for his health. He should go to the mountains. I'll take care of it. Reb Chaim Volozhin. He sat there b'yichidus alone with the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen came out and said, "Rabbi, pack your bags. We're going to the mountains." So the family was amazed. They said to him, "What did you do? How did you?" We pleaded with him. We said everything we could possibly. What did you say? He said, "I asked him a shayla. I said, it says that if a person is what's that loch? If a person is lives in an ir miklat, and he kills someone b'shoygeg, what does he do then? He runs to an ir miklat, but he's in an ir miklat. So what should he do?" So the Goyen said, "You should go to a different ir miklat. It has to be goylem imakom lamakom." So I just said, "Tomir." I said, "If it would possibly be that we're chayiv galus in the galus, so we should go from makom lamakom in the galus." So he told him, "It's telling the Vilna Goyen, Lu Yehei, the Vilna Goyen is chayiv galus. He should go from one place in the galus to another place in the galus." The Goyen was mekabel, and he went to the mountains. The Vilna Goyen is chayiv galus. Vilna Goyen killed someone b'shoygeg. What does that mean? It means that in some way that we want to have some sort of tikkun to his neshama. You should go from makom lamakom. You should become chayiv galus. Al kolponim, says the Chidah, this whole thing is not true, or at least this nakuda. This nakuda is not true. You can't kill someone with the Shema Mefarish if it doesn't deserve. Who said? Shema Mefarish is a weapon, just like all other weapons. You could kill someone if you so choose with the Shema Mefarish, even if he doesn't deserve Misa. And if you killed him, you're guilty. We were saying, Moshe Rabbeinu obviously didn't do anything wrong. It could be Taka didn't do anything wrong. But the proof that we brought, that because the Shema Mefarish is not a weapon, is not true, says the Chidah. The Shema Mefarish, a person can use that or misuse that. He could use it or abuse it. But if you use the Shema Mefarish wrong, you can kill somebody. And I have a raya. Listen to this unbelievable raya. It's in the Sefer Shaila Torah. It's brought from the Balei HaTosfos. This unbelievable raya. The halacha is a kohen is not allowed to marry a gerusha. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. A kohen is not allowed to marry a gerusha. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Says the Baal HaTosfos, "I understand why you can't marry a gerusha. Something clearly went wrong. This is not like, we don't look at this as being the appropriate type of shidduch for, because there was a breakdown of the marriage. But an almana, what's the problem? Why can't a kohen gadol marry an almana? A kohen can. Why can't a kohen gadol?" Says the Balei HaTosfos, Dover Mavil. He says, "Because we're afraid. The kohen gadol might set his eyes on a woman and want to marry her. There's just one problem. She's married. What to do? So we're worried. The kohen gadol, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, and he says the Shem HaMefoyrosh, he's going to think about that fellow that's married to that woman, kill him with the Shem HaMefoyrosh, and then he'll be able to marry her. So therefore, in order to avoid that from happening, so we tell the Kohen Gadol, you can't marry an almana, so there's no point in killing him, so he's not going to kill him. So what do I see? You could kill someone with the Shem HaMefoyrosh, whether he deserves to be killed or doesn't deserve to be killed, just by saying, it's a weapon. It's a weapon of mass destruction. You have to be very careful with that weapon. And if a person does it, he'd be considered as if he killed him.
It's not
100%
of a riot, though.
What?
The two ways. Either Moshe Rabbeinu, by saying Shema Mefarish, kind of unlocked this chiv misa lashmayim on this guy.
Yeah.
And killed him. Or it's a weapon, and he basically shot him with the Shema Mefarish. But the Kohen Gadol, there are many cases that there are people who are chayav misa b'dishmayim, and they're walking around. They can be married to somebody. And the Kohen Gadol thinks about it for a second when he says Shema Mefarish, and he'll unlock the death on the guy, and that's not his place to do it. It doesn't mean the guy didn't deserve to die. Maybe the guy still deserves.
No, it's maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work. It'll only work if he happens to be also. Could be. Thank you very much. Akopas and Rabbi said, I just want to bring out another nakuda here on the side. You see over here a dover noira. You're talking about the Kohen Gadol. You're talking about Yom Kippur. You're talking about the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he's thinking about a married woman. It's,
he died.
It's a ha'ara chashuva that realize that a mensch is a mensch. And people have taivas You have to be very, very careful. You can't say, I'm above this, I don't have to worry about this. Even a Kohen Gadol, even on Yom Kippur, even the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're worried about what he's thinking about. I want to finish up. So it's as follows. Lemaisa, we have to figure out, Bechlal, Beis Meir asked the question, why is it usser to kill a guy? Moshe Rabbeinu killed a guy. Is it taka usser to kill a guy? Maybe it's not even usser. What's the isser to kill a guy? The Beis Meir is that maybe it's not even usser to kill a guy. It's not usser to kill a guy. Then we don't have the problem of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though the Rambam says, Kolahirig nefesh adam oiver b'lo sirtach. Anyone that kills, anyone is over in Losirtzach. But if you look, that they change the girsa in the Rambam. Because the way it was is that they had to be very careful with, you know, writing anything that would look like the Jews are, you know, trying to be superior. So because of the censors, they censored things. But the real girsa in the Rambam is Kalahirig Nefesh Adam Mi Yisrael Chayiv. Is over below Saseh. Now, if you kill a guy, it could very well be there is no Isser to kill a guy midiraisa. Now, let's get this straight. It's not a wise thing to do under the present climate. I do not suggest anyone to be doing this. And I do not take any responsibility for anyone that would possibly have those ideas. But is it Isser midiraisa? What's the Isser? So he brings many different ideas. We don't have time to go into them. But he brings from the Sholem Meshiv that it's the Isser is Bal Tashchis. It's a Bal Tashchis. It's a waste. It's Bal Tashchis. You're allowed to throw out macaroni? What? In a Hanami, but the Vaila. Is that true? Why not? If you could give it to your animal to be eaten, it's a Bal Tashchis. So over here, the Isser is Bal Tashchis. So says the Reb Asher Weiss, if the only Isser is Bal Tashchis, so then Bal Tashchis is only if you don't have a good reason why you're doing it. But if you had a good reason why you're doing it, then you're allowed to do it. So you're allowed to kill a guy if you have a good reason to kill him. It's like, if he's bothering you, it's like, it's not Bal Tashchis if it's bothering me. Let's say a person doesn't have enough room in his fridge. So he has no ways to keep it, so he can throw it out. So it's like, okay, not enough room in Eretz Yisrael for you. So what? About a not. I'll call upon him. L'chayre, the pshat is as follows. L'chayre, with this we'll end with just to a sikum end. Is a person allowed to steal from a guy? You're allowed to steal from a guy. Gezel akum is aser. Toz akum is mutter. Gezel akum is aser. If you're not allowed to steal from a guy, or you're allowed to steal a guy's life, that's like stealing from him like the most possible. That's the most stealing. Right? So Al Kama is it's usher to steal from a guy, perhaps it's usher to steal his life. Al Kopanim, Halacha L'maisa, one should not be killing Goyim. The Shaila is like this. We'll go over again. We started off with the first question of the first thing we spoke about is a Yid hits another Yid as a Rasha, but only hits his friend. If a Rebbe, it's a Talmud, not only is he not a Rasha, but it's a mitzvah to hit him. Not only if he's not doing well, even if he is doing well, he should hit him, get him out of his comfort zone. But that's as far as Yid hitting Yid. What about a Goy hitting Yid? Chayiv Mitsa. And that's why Moshe Ben is able to kill him. Moshe Ben is able to kill him. Why do you have to look into the future to see? Maybe he should kill him, maybe he shouldn't kill him. He's Chayiv Mitsa, he should kill him. The answer is, why is he Chayiv Mitsa? Maybe it's because Gezel, but then it'll even be another Goy. No, it's because a Goy, when he hits a Yid, is Chayiv Mitsa would say exactly why, but it's only Mitzvah Shamayim. So then if it's only Mitzvah Shamayim, how could Moshe Rabbeinu kill him? If it's not really Chayiv Mitsa, the answer is maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to like kill him. He's giving a more extreme punishment because Moshe Rabbeinu saw the need to do that. Why was there a need? He anyway is hiding him in the sand. So we said another terrorist, maybe Enachanami, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was killing him was because he killed Hashem on Farish. He didn't really kill him. It wasn't really Moshe Rabbeinu killing him. It was really Hashem killing him because it's not really a weapon. It's all from the Shamayim. We said maybe Moshe Rabbeinu should not have killed him. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Golis. Did he really go to Golis? Was it real Golis? How could he have got to Golis if the Ir Mikla and anyone's on Koilet? The answer is for him, the Ir Mikla was Koilet. Shama is Moshe Rabbeinu. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu isn't really Chayiv Golis because he asked the Mitzvah anyway. If he asked the Malachim anyway if he should kill him, the Malachim told him to kill him. Anyway, he's a Shema Farish. I wasn't doing anything wrong. It's not necessarily true. Shema Farish is a weapon. Where do we see that from? We see that that's came out of the Torah. Maybe it's not really a riot. Maybe it is a riot. I'll call upon him. We said in the end that it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu killed him. And the answer is the question is Bechlal usher to kill a guy? Maybe you're allowed to kill a guy. The Rambam doesn't say you're not allowed to kill a guy. You're not allowed to kill a guy because of Baal Tashkis. Maybe you're not allowed to kill a guy because of Lai Sigzal Meshukar.
There's a play about the parable.